Scramble Jam Podcast.
Hi, I'm Bryn, and I'm back to loving when it calls the heart.
Hey, I'm Panda. I guess I'm back to liking when calls the heart.
I'm Dan, and I'm still despising when calls the heart.
And this is the Deck the Hallmark Podcast. Everybody's happy to be here. It is Wednesday and Thursday, I mean. Hi, guys.
I'm a little bit offended, and we were in a groove, and now we're not. Brand started us off with a dumb movement. Yep. It's your job to continue that.
Yeah, and I didn't. That's on me.
Could we get an apology?
Yeah, or, no, okay. That's on me. Listen. Right.
Just want to make sure.
Yeah,
we're so, holding each other accountable.
No, and I'm really grateful for that, Dan. I need somebody to, spot check me from time to time. And I feel awkward doing the motions. A lot of times, I just don't want to go through the motions.
Yeah, no, nobody does.
But in this case, I was in the wrong. And how can I make it right?
Do it for the rest of the episode.
That's a long time.
I'll tell you.
Do it right now and just say that you're sorry while you do it.
I'm really sorry that I didn't do the motions earlier.
There you go. That works. It's good enough for
Thank
me.
Thank you.
Hey, guys, can I ask you this question really quick?
Yeah.
What do you think really happened with FFH?
Dude, I think they're in the big fish.
Guys, I hope that everybody's having a great week. The Deckies were last night, and I am still recovering.
Exhausted. Oh, my gosh.
I can't believe you guys let me drink that much.
Tracy,
what?
We showed up for pre-show.
Yep.
And you just had a sign up and it had Mosties.
Mosties. Yep. Who's the Mostie with the Mosties?
You are. Yeah. You are. That's right.
It was I knew we were in trouble after the 10th one you had drank.
You had drank. 10th one you drank.
Yeah, you had a couple too though, Pat Boy. Pal?
I thought you said cowboy.
No, pal boy.
Pal boy is the thing you're trying, huh?
Rig, what did you think about the Deckies this year? Second annual.
I thought it was pretty great.
Yeah.
There were a couple moments where I got to shine, and I think we all know what those moments were.
Yep.
There were a couple moments where you dropped the ball, and I don't want to point those out, but when you were announcing for you know who, I don't want to say it. I don't want to ruin anything.
Why? It was live. People have seen it.
Yeah, but if they haven't yet.
Sure. You're so considerate. Yeah.
No. On your third, how about this? On your third outfit change.
You're right.
It was a disaster.
That's
true.
There were so many things that we could have helped you.
We looked great last night.
Oh, we did. All of our entire ensemble, once again, provided by Amazon.com.
Yes, listen. We try not.
We spend the big bucks.
We try to support local as often as we can, but when it comes to suits, you can't trust anyone else. There's nobody.
Listen, it's only the finest for us, and we spare no expense, and that's why every year we buy new tuxes from Amazon.com so that we're not recycling tuxes.
Yeah.
Once I wear a tux once from Amazon, I'm not wearing it again.
No.
I don't think they're designed to wear more than once, to be honest.
We actually, each year, we sign them and then we frame the suits.
That's right.
They're lining the wall. That's actually not a bad idea. We should probably.
Ooh, we should. That's
not a bad idea.
I've got mine for the last 2 years.
But,
do you know where yours is from last year?
I think so. Frame. I mean, we don't need three black suits up there.
No, right? I don't know. But I mean, they're worth something.
Yeah. The Mountie outfit. Frame that.
Mountie outfit. Oh, yeah. We got all these outfits.
All these great. We got a
wardrobe.
We got a student life camp outfit.
This year we really popped.
Oh man,
oh, boy.
I mean, I don't. Maybe it's too forward. You look great,
dude.
I just look better than you ever have, Dan.
We all did.
You were acceptable as always.
Thank you.
The color you were wearing,
and man, that Arby's. I'm still thinking Arby's,
dude.
I'll say that.
I've never thought Arby's in my life, and now I can't not think. Arby's.
You can't. Yep. Every time.
Yeah.
Every time.
Doing it before the show seemed like a mistake.
Yeah.
And
we were right. Breaks. We were not a bathroom break.
And we were right.
Which is unfortunate.
Those are the moments where Rig shined because it was just him on the mic.
That's right. Guys,
you guys did miss one moment. I said some things I probably shouldn't have said. I never told you to edit those, but if you go back
to minute, live.
If you go back to minute 36, if you ever post it, you're going to find I said some things I shouldn't have said.
What did you say?
My pants.
Rick, you went back for more Arby's.
Oh boy, I live at Arby's. Are you kidding me?
That I can believe.
You remember when they had the 5 for $5 beef and cheddars?
Yes.
Boy, howdy. Try Christmas every day for a fortnight.
Christmas every day for a fortnight.
It's not confusing.
No.
You need me to diagram that sentence, Copernicus?
Yeah, Spartacus. Yeah, mesothelioma.
Man, Trace is really piling on.
Yeah, Saint Chris.
Saint Sicris. What's happening?
All right, guys.
Did you say mesothelioma?
I think she did. shout out. You guys ready to talk about When Calls the Heart Season 5, Episode 3?
Yeah, boy.
What is the name of this episode?
Jack of All Hearts. It's actually not a bad title.
In It to Win It.
No. This one, and I guys.
Get your head in the game.
No. Every time there's one of these, I'm just like, how has this not been taken yet? Home is Where the Heart is the name of this episode. No,
we guess it every time. How do we not know that?
Home is Where the Heart Is.
Dang it.
It finally happened. It originally aired on March 4th, 2018.
Do we have a 2018 guy? We've been doing this pod. Like,
yeah, I don't know if we do.
I don't think we
do. I'm just so used to having a year guy.
We don't have a 2018. Yeah, it's still up for grabs, I believe.
Anyone who wants to bid on it, go ahead.
I have someone.
You have someone.
It's R.L. Stein.
Oh, 2018.
And it went a little something like this. What's your second favorite Goosebump?
Oh, Chuck-a-ball snowman.
Yeah, it's another good one. It's a classic. The episode.
That's one of his favorites, man. Get it together.
The episode kicks off with some serious tension. Lee meets a man that gives him money every Monday for payday. The bank man boy.
You mean Rick Fitch?
Except they can't.
He's been on our show, Milo
Chandel. Except they can't pay until Thursday, which means that Lee can't pay his men on Monday. You guys tracking?
Yep.
It's a real mess. We then see Elizabeth and a bunch of Mounties come rolling into town, and she just starts screaming, Jack! Jack!
Jack! Pretty much what it sounds like.
She finds out that they secured the Northern Territories, and they're all heading home, and she's looking for Jack everywhere. She starts asking around, Jack! And this dude is like, could not be less helpful.
Couldn't have cared less.
And he's just like, we took some losses. I don't know what to tell you. But then another crew comes in behind, and Jack is there. And Elizabeth starts yelling again, oh, Jack! And he jumps off his horse, and they kiss like gangbusters, y'all.
It's like TDMA.
And he's like, I'm home.
Oh, yeah.
I'm home. Elizabeth finds someone to cover her class just until lunch so that she and Jack can have some alone time. A new girl gets into town. Her name is Sophia, and she's a friend of Rosemary's. Rosemary. She's a friend of Rosemary.
You said it right the first time.
Okay.
Yep.
Man, you can't win for losing. Mm, mm, mm. You said it right and you corrected yourself.
I want really quickly... Growing up in Florida, there was a...
What are you doing right now?
You know those paid commercials, 30-minute blocks?
Yeah.
There was a Family Auto Mart that would do the best paid commercials. And for some reason, you saying that made me think of that guy saying, fixin' to learn ya. Shout out to Family Auto Mart in Florida.
Just like amen, Emol. Hey, hey.
Love that too. Jack tells Elizabeth that he doesn't want to be engaged. What? He wants to get married ASAP. Lee hires Gowan, and Gowan's complaining about it. The nerve of this guy. He gets suspicious that the bank doesn't have any money when, you know, Lee doesn't have his money. Jack shows Elizabeth the blueprints that he managed to create while he's at war, and he's ready to start building. Elizabeth's class is going to...
you screwed that one up pretty dandy. Elizabeth's. Oh, it's whose class is it? It's Elizabeth's. Elizabeth's.
I know. Elizabeth's class is going to write a newsletter with hard-hitting facts. No silly stories. Everyone keeps trying to get Jack to talk about war, and he's like, I don't want to talk about war. This girl hears that the sawmill doesn't have the money to pay people and that it might close down. And so Elizabeth put her in charge of the newsletter, and she's like, I'm going to write a story about this. But Elizabeth is like, this is gossip. This is gossip. This is how Elizabeth talks about the newspapers. This is gossip.
Gossip.
This is gossip, and you need to have more witnesses. That's how new papers work. Carson meets Sophia, and he is smitten. And Faith is jealous. Gowan tells Abigail that he thinks that the bank is going under and advises her to pull all of the town's funds from the bank. And she's like, well, won't that make the bank crash? And he's like, exactly. Jack found his candles. Jack found his candles and has a romantic dinner and dance with Elizabeth. Lee gives Jack a discount on lumber so that he can start building because he's a hero. Jack seems uncomfortable with this notion, but when someone offers you at cost wood, you take it, wouldn't you? So Abigail threatens to pull the money from the bank, and the banker's like, here's the thing. I invested a bunch of your money, and I lost it. Just give me time. I'm working on a plan. And she's like, you got a little time. Sophia and Carson have a great romantic picnic, and they get rained on, but like in the sexy rain kind of way. So there's this girl who she was put in charge of the newspaper, and she decides, once she can't run the story about the sawmill, she sees some kid who she thinks is cheating. So she writes about it and prints the newsletter without permission. Turns out that kid is not cheating. She apologizes and makes the boy co-editor. Elizabeth and Jack announce that they're going to get married in 2 weeks because you got to get busy living so you can get busy dying. The banker puts a sign on the door that says close until further notice, but that dummy's still inside. You can see him right there. They ask Abigail, what's going to happen next? And she's like, we'll find out next week on When Calls the Heart.
Home is where the heart is.
We did it, everybody.
We did it.
Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back, and we'll break this episode down here on Deck the Hallmark. We're back.
Jack back, and you're gonna be in trouble. Hang on, but Jack is back.
Your jacket's back. What, did you lose it? guys, it's the program, and we're talking about What Calls the Heart, Season 5, Episode 3. And we got 4 segments to break it down. We're going to start with the hot tank.
Yeah.
I thought you guys were going to join me. You didn't.
When have we ever joined you for that?
When we made eyes, you would. I gave you these, I was telling you.
I thought you were trying to remember the segment.
No, by now you should know that when I do this.
Yeah, no, you didn't do that. Okay. If you had done you this, I'd have done something.
That's on me. Hot take, Panda. Tell people how the hot times are.
Yeah, I'll tell you how hot these times are. They're scolding because Jack's back, baby.
Scolding.
He's scolding.
It's gossip.
It's gossip. Listen, this is... this episode's better than what we've had so far this season. And it is the bank. There's a run on the bank, which is always fun. I love a good bank plot line. Unfortunately,
there isn't a run on the bank. A run on the bank is where everybody goes and takes their money out. The bank has poorly invested money. There is not a run on the bank.
There would be a run on the bank if the bank had money, though.
If people knew what the bank was doing, there would be a run on the bank. Right. People don't know, so there's not one.
They are trying to make a run on the bank.
Yes.
No, but no one has them. Asked for their money. But
I'm saying they were getting ready to, and but he they, closed they, up shop.
They've not
I'm
done
just
that.
Saying, my it, sentence was a run on the they bank. Were going.
No, you said they were trying no, to.
They were that's trying.
What, they were not trying.
They. That's no, why they're
Abigail
there.
Abigail was like, I'd like to withdraw my money. Right. She's like, all right, I'll give you some time.
No, the people were trying, but they couldn't get into the building.
Yeah. They never got a chance to make a run on the bank.
That's about, I didn't say they did. I said they were trying. Right,
whatever, go ahead.
I think that you can make a run on the bank even if you don't enter into bank proper.
Okay. All right.
I stand by that. Okay. Hey, listen.
Dentalmer.com/vote.
Here's my thing. As soon as Jack is back, it's a lot
Jack
better.
Is back and you can't be in trouble.
It's just a better show. It is better with Elizabeth and Jack. It's a shame that we know where this is going because it's this is by far the best episode we've seen in what feels like a very, very long time. I don't know what to tell you. It's not this show's still not great, but this episode's was at least interesting to me, and it was it's better than what we've had. So two thumbs up. For relative for where we're at.
A relative two thumbs up. Yeah.
Yeah, man. I mean, this is it, man. This is what you're looking for, huh? Jack's there. There's a run on the bank attempt. And kids are just writing his letters without any permission. This is what we live for at this point. Yeah. And home is where the heart is. I think we can all agree there. We got Jack, again, just busting out candles willy-nilly.
He found him.
It's phenomenal. We got Gowan, who comes back into town, gets a job, and still finds reason to complain. You got everything that you want in an episode of When Calls the Heart. Great episode of this show. And two relative thumbs up. And that relative is your old Uncle Brent. Dan?
This show sucks. It's bad. Jack comes back, and it's still bad. I mean, is it better than last week's like Paul Thomas Anderson film where we just ponder life for 42 minutes while we figure out if Dottie should sell dress designs? Yeah. I guess this is better than that. So sue me.
Two thumbs up relative, right?
No. This is like, it makes the meter, right? Like last week's episode doesn't make the scale. Like this episode registers as television. That's what this is. It's TV. That's as good as I can give it. No, it's bad. It's terrible. But Jack is back. Let's enjoy him for 4 or 5 episodes before he gets whacked.
Let's talk about the feels. Was making us feels things panda.
Name something in this episode because it all gave me feels.
The newspaper, the class newspaper.
Yeah, I like the feels.
Yeah,
I was part of a kid's newspaper.
Dude. Yeah, what kid, as a kid,
mine was elementary school.
Didn't think like, man, I'm gonna write some stuff. I think I created my own newspaper once.
I was part of the name out. Of the kid's newsletter.
McNasty's on a tear.
Cut from his middle school basketball team. That didn't stop McNasty. In last week's cul-de-sac game, the cul-de-sac championships, McNasty went for 6 points on 3 of 9 shooting. He had 5 dimes amidst a sea of 18 turnovers. Needless to say, McNasty's back and better than ever.
McNasty then went and sold Christmas wrapping paper door to door for a school fundraiser in hopes of getting a rinky-dink toy that looks cool in the pictures but will break immediately.
Said McNasty, I'm just waiting for October and the brat guy.
The brat guy! Oh, guys, for those of you that don't get that reference.
No one should.
There is a guy in Sugar, off of Sugar Maple Court in Titusville, Florida, that for years, instead of handing out candy, would grill brats and hand them out to the children. And you know who loved that house and would hover around it as long as possible?
Freaking nasty.
This guy. Right. Brats, baby.
Yeah.
Happy Halloween.
No kidding.
Here's a brat for you.
Man, that got out of hand quickly.
Yeah.
Any other feels?
No, just big smooches abound.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, those kisses were wild.
That first kiss was like, boy. Yeah.
Boy.
What? I mean, boy, howdy.
It makes you wonder, right? Like, those two, were those two like actually in love?
Those two had a relationship. You know it. I know we've interviewed both. Neither have said that, but we.
And we can't go on the record. We can't be like, hey.
I'll go on the record.
You would ask them.
No. Point blank. I just meant I'll go on the record and say that they did.
No. You're not going to ask them on the record if they dated in real life.
If we get listening back on, I will.
All right, fine. I'll text
him. If we get listening back on, I'll ask him if he and Krako ever had a relationship off screen.
Man, that is journalism, everybody. That's journalism. But yeah, those kisses were real. The candles are back. And what's great about the candles bit is it's happening, and I'm watching it happen, and I'm like, I got the candles back out. Like, you just see it, you don't think much of it, but like, he's done this candles bit before.
He has gone, he's
gone out to this field before, scattered candles, lit them, and then he decided that was time well spent. Let's do it again.
He's got one trick in his playbook.
And it's
the candles, and it works.
It works every time. It looks great.
You know,
I want to tell you.
Good time.
If I had that trick, I'd use it.
But man, to be fair,
he's had a little bit of time in between the two usages of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you can pull that off. Now, if you're doing that every night,
if next episode he breaks out all those candles, then we're gonna
call it out at this point. But for right now, you get a pass, and it worked again.
Danny, feels for you?
No, gosh, no. I mean, the kiss was great. The kiss was great. Yeah. Aside from that, no. Well, Robert continues to be the worst.
Yeah.
What did Robert do in this episode?
This time he says he can hold his breath for like, I don't know what it is, a minute. And he holds his breath for maybe 3 seconds. Maybe.
And then he also picks on the kid for
cheating.
Stop lying,
Robert.
Robert, go kick rocks.
You're no good bee.
Cody's not a lot better though. Like,
no,
Cody's right
there. Robert,
of course.
Don't put Cody on Robert's level.
I would, but Cody and Robert are buddies.
Yeah.
So like,
they're up. You listen.
The company that you keep, the
hang around dogs, you get fleas.
That's exactly right. Nope. And Robert's a golden retriever. I don't know.
He's the Air Bud of this.
He's
movie.
He's like, woof woof woof. Flea for you. Let's take a quick break here on Deck the Hallmark.
Flea for you.
Red Hot Chili Peppers bass player.
Yeah.
We're back, everybody. Yes. We're talking Wake All Stars season 5, episode 3, Homes Where the Heart Is. We got the what, the wait what's. Panda, what made you go wait what while you were watching this?
My thing is Jack calls Clara. He first calls her Clara, like you should.
Yeah.
And then he calls her Clara at one point.
Clara!
Within, and it's not separate conversation. It's the same conversation. He calls her Clara. I went back and I rewound it a couple times. Clara, and then he moves to Clara. I don't think anyone knows what her name is. Just one point.
Clara, though. Whatever.
Whatever.
Tomatoes, tomatoes.
Here's the only other one is this kid who is accused of cheating. He is not cheating. He's doing okay. He has not done particularly well on the Englishes up
grammar,
to this point.
Yeah.
Grammar.
The Englishes.
The Englishes up to this point. And they move him to co-editor after him pulling 1A. And I think that is a bold move for somebody who has not done real
great. I'll just say this. Anybody who doesn't believe that privilege is real, look no further than this episode, because this kid gets 1A and it gets immediately moved up, uses his privilege to immediately move up to co-editor.
Here's the best part is that he only got the A because the teacher literally gave him the key to study by.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And then she asked if he will be her assistant editor, and he's like, the double down.
Dude,
no. I'm not. I assist no one.
That's a Robert move.
That's a Robert
move. He went to the Robert School of Knots.
Yep. That's right.
It's just bold on top of bold on top of bold for this kid. But I, you know, he was getting picked on by Robert, so I feel bad for the kid. So, you know.
Yeah. I got a couple. Why are these Mounties all so quiet? Are the Mounties on like a prayer walk or something? Because not like walking into town, sure. What are you talking about? They are not saying a word to each other inside that saloon. Mm-mm, they're not talking. Word.
Can't afford it.
What's going on with these Mounties? Can't afford it. But the one who can speak, unfortunately, is the worst.
Yes.
Just give hope. Just lie. Just do something to give this poor woman hope. Instead, my guy says, we lost a lot of guys. I don't know what you want from me. What a move to do. My guy Jack is at war and in his free time made a blueprint.
I love it. Did.
It's wild out there. Another reason why this girl should not just be co-editor, she should be running this joint, is she figured out how to use that equipment and print the newsletters all by herself.
Mimeograph, that's right.
Good for her.
She did it.
We don't need you, kid, that needs the key to study. She didn't need a key to figure out the equipment. Just did it. We don't need you, kid, is what I'm trying to get at. We don't
need you, kid.
Is what I'm trying to get at. And what's the deal with Jack and Candles? Dan?
Hey, let me ask you this. When Gowan lost his power as mayor and then came back to the town, did he also pick up a new working class dialect? Because he literally sounds totally different now. Like, he doesn't finish any of his words, you know. Everything's like, I'm working, you know, with the crew. He may as well have, like, a toothpick in his mouth. Like, is he, like, auditioning for Newsies?
Yeah.
Like, why is he a completely different character
now? I just couldn't believe that Gowan got let go on time spent. And he comes time
back
served
to town
and immediately starts complaining about the job that he was given
with a new accent.
Yeah.
Like a completely new accent.
I like that he's kind of a hard guy now. Like for the good guys.
What was he before? What's a hard guy for the good guys?
I need you to flesh that out. What is a hard guy for the good guys?
I don't need you to flesh it out.
Okay. He was a hard guy for the bad boys before. And so what I mean by that was that you didn't mess with him. And like, but now he's a hard guy for the good guys, meaning you don't mess with him, but he's helping the good guys out of a situation. You know what I'm saying?
So straight up, hard guy, nothing else behind it, means you don't mess with him.
You don't mess with him.
The rest of that gives you the more.
He was
more
a hard guy for the bad boys.
Yeah, he was a hard guy for the bad boys.
Dude, so true. So true. He's a hard. He's now a hard guy for the good guys. That's so true. Yeah. You don't mess with him.
You don't mess
with
him.
He's going into bankers' rooms.
He literally changed his entire character and how he talks.
Because he's a hard guy for the good guys.
I don't know what.
Can't he still talk the same, though?
No, because that was when he was for the bad guys. Boys.
My
bad. Yeah.
Got it. Sorry. Yeah. So Gowan's different. I'm just starting to realize that Robert is no good scoundrel, but Elizabeth Classroom is just like a rotating cast of bullies. Like everybody in there is trying to pull a prank, hitting somebody close fist in the face, or picking on kids because they're not doing good in school.
Yeah.
Like it's just a who's
listen,
who.
You can talk you can talk bad about Robert all day long, but that little girl, she's always Hattie? Talking trash. You know, she's always talking trash.
But here's the thing is I think it might be because they have to take a grammar test every other day. What are we doing to these poor kids? There's no way you should be tested on your grammar every other day. That's absurd. That's what they're doing in this movie.
Well, if you're writing a newsletter.
Fair. I will say this. She gets a news story. She raises her hand in class and goes, I got the story that's going to be the main scoop. Teacher in charge of the mimeograph machine, in charge of her students, doesn't bother to ask her editor, what's the story? She just trusts her to write whatever she wants and print it without anyone proofing it. That just flies in the face of the entire point of a school newspaper, right? It's to work on writing and like publishing and stuff with the help of an adult. I'm going to go ahead and say this, although we've said it a few times, Abigail, bad mayor.
Yeah.
She has all of the town's money in one bank. And I want to be clear. Before the 1930s, there was not any sort of nationally recognized insured bank, right? So like there was a national bank in like the 1800s, like 1836. But there isn't a national bank. Banks were just like your money was not insured. It was just built on the trust you had with the person at the bank. And so this guy has not only all, he's got everyone's money.
This might be a question, a dumb question, but if the money's not insured, what's the point of it? Why do it? Why put
because
it in a
Because you don't want to get robbed insured. At your house.
Okay.
And banks.
But I trust myself more than I trust the.
You would think so, but people, the banks would allow you to earn interest on your money because they would use it to lend people money and make money off of it. Right. And so, but you don't have, there's nothing insuring your money. Like all this talk about like, if you don't bring me my money, then I'm gonna, you can stop right there. If he doesn't have your money, you don't get
you're
any a, money.
You're out of luck. Yep.
That's it. You should never put all your, in the 19 teens, no, everyone had money under a mattress. That's where the saying comes from. Yep. Like you would never put all of your money in a local bank unless
Lee should, you're- Lee should probably have a month out, right?
At least. And then the town having all their money there.
Is ridiculous.
I mean, just absurd. Just absurd that that would happen. I just can't imagine.
In her defense on that, Gowan, I believe, did that. That was a Gowan
move.
Well,
that was a dumb move by Gowan.
And the Gowan's the one that immediately suspects
yes,
the bank.
But Gowan, but I'm just saying, she didn't do that. She didn't put it all. Gowan, I believe, did that.
Well, whatever the case may be, that's all I got.
There you go. It's time for Hopes and Values, part of the show. We talk about things that we are excited for, giving us hope for the future, and or bumming us out, making us feel like we're in a valley.
Yeah. Man, my high right now, and the thing that I'm just super pumped about.
He's a hard guy for the good guys.
Yeah, I said that. Yeah, absolutely.
Stand by it.
100%. Wouldn't say anything else. Man, I'm really excited about the new house that they're going to finally build when they're going to construct this beautiful home. Jack and Elizabeth, it's going to be just wonderful. And then seeing this and knowing that he's getting ready to kick the bucket just makes me real sad.
That really
real
gives sad. You the feels.
Yeah, it really bums me out, man. Like, I was watching it, and I really, like, I love Jack in this show. Like, when he comes on the
At
show.
At the very
like,
least, the house will be somewhat constructed before he dies.
Yeah.
Like, he's got lumber. He's going to start working.
Yeah. And I guess it just makes me realize that this is the pinnacle of the show, and it's not looking great moving forward, and we still have several seasons left, and that bums me out.
It's weird because you hear Hardys that will say that, and then there's some Hardys that are like, we've had people contact us and say season 6 to 8 or better.
I mean,
none of it's going to be good.
No, but I'm willing to reset. If that's true, I'm willing to give this renewed interest. All right, what can you do after Jack dies that's going to really bring me along? Because I'm dreading it. Like, I'm dreading Jack dying right now. But
the two guys that come in for the love triangle, like, both of those guys are been on our show, and they're good people.
Well, yeah, but I don't know. I like most of the people on the show in other things as well. It just so happens that in this movie, it's like a black hole of talent. Like wow. You get
in
the talent.
In this movie.
In this TV show is what I meant. Black hole of talent. You get good talented actors and then they just can't do a lot with what they're given. And so I'm just saying like, even if you go ahead and you swap out different actors
for
Jack. But you
said you really like Jack.
I like Jack. Daniel Lissing's great.
So what I'm saying is we got two more coming in. We like them. Maybe they'll be.
What do you think? You think that's going to happen?
I mean, I hate it with Jack in it. I want to be clear. Jack and Elizabeth are the only thing redeeming, but that does make the show good. I'm going to hate it, I think, regardless.
But the good news is we like it better with Jack in it, and we're getting two for
the
price of one.
We're getting two of them. That's my point, is that if you...
And none of those guys are going to be gone for seasons at a time, just going...
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So, like, you know,
I haven't thought about that. Guys, thanks for bringing me out of the valley.
See, your valley's gone already. Valley's gone. You did it.
Thank God. My hope is I want Faith and Carson, and I like them together.
Yeah. Don't
and
ship them.
Faith is finally, I think, coming to terms with the fact that she likes mm-hmm. Carson. Carson's now into Sophia. I feel like I keep bringing up my love for Carson
and Faith.
And Faith, but I think they're my favorite people on the show.
Yeah,
and we don't get a ton of them. And so I'm excited about that potential love triangle that's gonna be. Overshadowed by death soon, but what can you do?
My hope was I really liked Allie Liebert's character.
Yep.
Like, she was great, and my value is she's only in one more episode.
Is she really?
I didn't know that. Why does this keep happening?
It's because they're terrible at their jobs over at Wind Calls the Heart. She's in one more episode. It doesn't matter. Life is meaningless. Kill Jack now.
Oh, come on now.
Smolder?
I mean, come on. Pretty high. I mean, the guy comes in a Mountie uniform.
I think this
and
might be
the first time he's seen her in like.
And big kisses.
Big kisses. Starts building a house.
We get a candle scene.
This
might will not get better.
This might be 10 out of 10.
This is a 10 out of 10 for me.
10 of 10. There
this
it is.
This is peak smolder, everybody. Peak smolder.
Yeah.
It's all downhill after this.
Yeah, it has to be.
And they talk about cooking a lot in this show, this episode, to not mention shepherd's pie not once. Neither do we have a pocket to watch.
Can we do a Robert jerk face Robert?
Let's do a jerk face meter.
Yeah. Out of
because we're gonna what, instead five, of the smolder
out of five jerk faces or what?
Yeah. Zero is Jesus. 10 is who's the biggest jerk? You know, Brandon Kaiser. That's the biggest jerk from my childhood. So from Jesus to Brandon Kaiser, where do you guys have it?
In this episode?
Yeah.
He's probably a six.
Okay.
Yeah, I have him.
Put a name to that. Who's a six jerk in your life?
I don't really like. I don't know, man.
From childhood, you don't know of like a six. Like sometimes he's a jerk. Most of the time he's a jerk, but also sometimes like he's a good guy.
I'm not gonna call people from my childhood that could be listening. I don't know what they are like now. Yeah, I've got a few names in my head, but I'm not doing it. Brandon Kaiser over here getting the treatment.
I don't know, man.
Brandon Kaiser knows.
Do you know how, like, seriously, at least five times, someone I went to high school with has been like, I've listened to your podcast. I'm not doing that.
All I'm saying is Brandon Kaiser knows now that he was back then
a jerk.
A 10 out of 10 jerk.
Okay with this.
He'd be absolutely okay with it.
There was a kid named Corey back in elementary school, first grade. He knows what he did.
What number is that? What number is Corey?
Well, six, because there was that one time Corey bailed me out of a situation. So
you were in jail, and Corey came in clutch, with some cash.
Bailed me out of a situation.
Corey,
I think he's a little bit lower on this episode, like 3.5.
Okay,
really, you don't think him being kind of a bully to the kid?
It wasn't that bad. Not this episode.
Well, I mean, not last week is a Brandon Kaiser. Right. You know what I mean?
Like, absolutely.
Full Brandon Kaiser.
Full Brandon Kaiser. It's time for What's Calling My Heart. It's the part of the show where we read an email that's been sent in to hello@deckthehallmark.com letting us know what's calling your heart. What's making you joyful these days? Dan?
This is from Courtney Hitchcock. Hi, Brand Danda. Danda? Nope. We're Danda.
Danda.
Hi, Brand Dan and Panda. What's calling my heart is this podcast. I recently started a job as an attorney at a large corporate law firm, and my family jokes that I've watched so many Hallmark movies, my life is turning into one. Though I can't say the leading man has been cast yet. I see what you did there. Nah. Listening to your podcast brings me so much joy on stressful days. I love the bits and hope Rig can make it. Rick?
It's Rig. I think we all know.
Rick can make an appearance in 2022. Do we know a Rick? Is Rick on the line right now?
Hello, everybody, I'm Rick.
I don't know who Rick is.
I don't either, but she knows who Rick is.
But Rick's right here.
All right, Rick. Well, you've made an appearance in 2022.
I'm right here.
Rick's right here, everybody.
Oh God, I'm so alive. I'm Rick.
Okay.
Why would Rig not make an appearance is a better
question. I'm confused across the board here. Rick, are you still on the line?
Yes, here.
Good. Glad you are. Thank you. Keep the episodes coming, especially your entertaining reviews of
What
Calls the
Heart. Hey, don't vote me out yet.
Are you on an island somewhere?
I'm still here.
Sincerely, Courtney.
Thank you, Courtney.
Email
hello.
hello@deckthehallmark.com. That's right.
For your emails. Tomorrow, signed, sealed, delivered to whom it may concern.
Pretty excited.
Guys, you're not going to want to miss it. Until then, may we be the first to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Deck the Hallmark is a Bramble Jam podcast. It's presented by Philo TV. It's produced by Brandon Gray and recorded live in Greenville, South Carolina. Set decor is by Plum at Haywood Mall. For more information on Deck the Hallmark, you can go to deckthehallmark.com. For more information on Bramble Jam Podcast Network, you can go to bramblejampodcast.com.